the word affliction. The word affliction involves a state of pain, a state of distress, a state of grief, a state of misery. Folks, when an individual is suffering affliction, he is suffering something that is extremely difficult to bear. Oftentimes, that affliction can cause physical pain as well as mental anguish. And afflictions can rise from all sorts of areas. An individual can be afflicted due to health issues. And over the course of the past several weeks, individuals in this congregation have been suffering immensely from those kind of problems and difficulties. There are individuals who suffer affliction because of the relationships in which they find themselves. Sometimes individuals suffer afflictions due to natural disasters, tornadoes, earthquakes, fires, floods, and so forth. There are times when you and I suffer affliction because of our enemies. There are times when we suffer affliction because you and I engage in sinful practices. And we also suffer affliction because of extremely poor choices that we make through the course of our lives. The psalmist understood affliction, and he wrote about it often in the pages of the Psalms. In Psalm 88, verse 15, he writes the following: I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. In Psalm 119, 107, the psalmist said, I am afflicted very much. On the other hand, there is what is known as comfort. When you look up comfort in an English dictionary, the definition of that word is relief from affliction. While an individual is suffering, while an individual is in pain and anguish, the one thing that he longs for, the one thing that he desires, the one thing that he craves intently is comfort in his affliction. Thankfully, for the child of the living God, we have a source of comfort, do we not? And that source is none other than our Father who is in heaven. The Apostle Paul understood that, and he praised God for being that kind of a God in 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. We turn just a few chapters over in that same book, and the Apostle Paul again describes God as a God of comfort. It's found in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 6, and he says that God is a God who comforteth those who are cast down. Tonight, I want us to study for a few minutes the fact that God gives comfort. In the first point, I want us to note that there are passages of Scripture that promise comfort to God's people. One of those passages is back again in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Notice verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation. My friends, when you and I are going through the struggles of life, when you and I are going through the misery, the pain, the anguish of life, there is a God who comforts us in our affliction. He is a God who is willing to relieve the stress, to relieve the difficulties, and to alleviate those problems through which we're going. We turn over to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 beginning, and Jesus says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, when you and I are in tribulation, the one thing we desire is rest, is it not? We desire that comfort. And Jesus says, come to me and I can provide you all the rest that you need. If there is one promise that is made in Scripture, it is this. You may have no rest here, but there is a rest for the people of God. Hebrews 4, verse 9. My friends, here you and I may strive and toil. We may cry and weep. We may face all kinds of difficulties and hardships. And yet we can rely on the promise that there remains a rest for the people of God. Eventually, there is coming a time of comfort. Yes, the Bible tells us that God promises comfort to His people. Point number two. I want us to go through the pages of God's Word for just a few moments, and I want us to look at some of those individuals who were in affliction, in struggles, in hardships, and had God to comfort them. One of the first examples that we find is in Genesis, the 16th chapter. Abraham had married a wife by the name of Sarah who could not bear children. Therefore, she gave unto him her handmaid by the name of Hagar, and she bore a son by the name of Ishmael. A little bit later in life, Sarah does bear a child by the name of Isaac. And the stage is now set for great conflict, is there not? And on one occasion, something was going on between Ishmael and Isaac. All the Bible says is that Sarah saw Ishmael sporting with Isaac. Whatever it was, Sarah was not well pleased. Immediately she goes to her husband, Abraham, and she tells him, Hagar's got to go. Abraham was deeply grieved, and yet at the instruction of the Almighty God, she was cast out from that house. She leaves with a bottle of water. She leaves with a little bread, and out into the wilderness she goes. And it's not long before that water is spent. And there she is with her child, about to die in the wilderness. She sets that child down in one place. She withdraws herself, the Bible says, about a bow's shot from that child. And she sat down over against the child and lifted up her voice and wept. Genesis 16, 16. Here is a woman in deep affliction, is she not? The very thought that at any moment my child will die, at any moment I'm going to die, all because we were cast out of our home. Affliction, misery, sorrow, and hardship. And in the very next verse, the God of all comfort comes to her side. His words to her at first were merely this, Hagar, fear not. Hagar's struggling, folks. Hagar's fearful that death is right there for both her and her child. And now what does God do? Hagar, fear not. Secondly, she receives a promise from the Almighty God. This child that you think is going to die, oh no, from him will proceed a wonderful, mighty nation. And thirdly, the Bible says that God opened her eyes, that she saw a well of water. Folks, you couldn't be more down than Hagar was on this occasion. Right at the very point of death. And yet, the God of all comfort comes and gives her exactly what she needs in her hour of struggle. Joseph. Was he a young man who faced great affliction? Oh, absolutely. There he was in a home, and he received these revelations from God, these dreams from the Almighty. He tells them to his brothers. And all that does is spark jealousy and rage and envy against him. And they could not speak peaceably unto him, the Bible says. His father gives him a coat of many colors, and that coat just antagonizes them even more. Finally, they're out in the fields one day. Joseph comes to check upon them, and what do? They sell him into Egyptian slavery, don't they? While there, he is accused falsely of a crime that he never committed. He was cast into prison, and there lived as if forgotten for several years. I don't know about you, but I would not consider myself a happy camper in that situation. In fact, I would be quite grieved, wouldn't you? I'd be somewhat down. Here I am, I've been faithful, I've been dedicated, I've been trying to serve God, I've been trying to do everything that I should do, and look at my situation. It just gets worse and worse and worse, and here I am with absolutely no freedom. But the God of all comfort was at hand, was he not? Joseph is brought forth from that prison because Pharaoh had had a dream that no one could interpret. Joseph stands before Pharaoh, interprets that dream, and he is elevated to second in command in Egypt. He is given a woman for a wife, and that woman brings forth two children unto him. One of them he names Manasseh, and one of them he names Ephraim. And you say, so what? Folks, those names had meanings. Did you know that? Genesis 41, verse 51, gives us the name of Manasseh and his meaning. He says, because God hath caused me to forget all my toil and all my father's house. Folks, Joseph says, it is this child that I have been given that has brought me comfort from my affliction. All of the toils, all the struggles, all the anguish that I have experienced, I now have relief from them. I've forgotten all of those because God has given me this child, Manasseh. A second child comes onto the scene by the name of Ephraim. Why is he named Ephraim? The Bible tells us why. Because God hath made me fruitful in the land of my, listen to him, affliction. Wow. Folks, God never forgot Joseph. And even if he had never been reunited with his family, God comforted the heart of this man by the birth of two children, didn't he? And yet, that comfort was going to continue on and on and on, wasn't it? Eventually, his brothers would stand before him. In fact, bow before him. He would make his presence known unto them. They would be reunited. He would see another brother that he has by the name of Benjamin. He would see his father. His father and his family would come and join him in the land of Goshen. And there they would live for many, many years. He would see the death of his father and get to bury his father. In fact, his family would be around him until such time that he too passed from this world. God comforted Joseph. At this time, the children of Israel are in the land of Egypt, are they not? And as long as there was a Pharaoh in power who knew Joseph, everything was fine. But the Bible says there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph, Exodus chapter 1, verse 8. This king became somewhat troubled by the growth of the nation of Israel. Look how large they're getting. If we don't stop this, the very moment that an enemy attacks us, they'll join forces with them and we'll be overcome. So he places them in what the Bible refers to as rigorous bondage, folks. And for years and years and years on end, the children of Israel cry out unto their God for relief from the bondage in which they found themselves. They are afflicted. They are tormented. They are tested. They are weary individuals. And finally, the God of comfort appears on the scene, does he not? We turn to Exodus, the 3rd chapter in verse 7, and we read 3 statements that God says there that are interesting. I have seen their affliction. Folks, just write that down somewhere. If you're afflicted, if you're in pain, if you're in anguish, guess what? God says, I have seen their affliction. Secondly, he says, I have heard their cry. Isn't that what we do when we're afflicted? We cry out unto the God of heaven and we wait for his response and we continue to cry. And God says, I have heard. Listen to this 3rd statement. And I know their sorrow. Isn't that wonderful? At this particular point in time, God has done absolutely nothing in response to their predicament. But guess what? He says, I know, I have heard, and I have seen what is going on in the lives of my people. Folks, God knows what you're experiencing. God knows what you're going through. Now listen to verse 8. And I am come to deliver them out of the hand of Egypt. I will bring them out of this land and into a good land and large, a land that flows with milk and honey. I am coming to give them comfort, folks. God is a God of comfort. Over the course of this last year, we've been studying in ladies' class a book by the name of Ruth. There's a woman in that book who is very interesting. Her name is Naomi. She's the mother-in-law. She lives in a little town known as Bethlehem, but times were not good there. She and her husband and her 2 sons, they leave Bethlehem and they enter into the land of Moab because of a famine. At first, everything seems wonderful. They have plenty to eat. Everything is good. Their 2 sons marry, but her husband passes away. Not long thereafter, her 2 sons pass away. And she's left as a poor widow with 2 daughter-in-laws. At her begging, she encourages those 2 girls to go back to their father's house. And yet one of them stubbornly stays with her, does she not? She leaves the land of Moab. She returns back to Bethlehem. And all the inhabitants of the city are elated to see her. And they cry out, oh, Naomi is back. Naomi is back. And her reply is, do not call me Naomi. You call me Mara. And that word literally means bitterness, folks. Here is a woman who is suffering. Here is a woman in affliction. Here is a woman who no longer wants to be known as a beautiful woman. She wants to be known as a woman who is in misery and in pain and in bitterness of soul. But you just read through the course of that book, and guess what? The God of comfort is at work, is he not? Ruth, fortunately, has stayed with Naomi. She goes out into the fields to glean, to gather a little bit of food for her and her mother-in-law. And she just haps onto a field of a man by the name of Boaz, a near kinsman of Elimelech. They kind of hit it off a little bit. Oh, Boaz is intrigued with this woman. And Naomi develops a plan for them to marry, and Ruth pursues that plan. But there's a problem, is there not? There's one other kinsman who's just a little bit nearer than Boaz is. He confronts the near kinsman. The near kinsman relinquishes his rights, and they are able to marry. Boaz and Ruth marry one another, and now there is plenty. Because Boaz is a rich man, there is plenty for Ruth and for Naomi. But there is a little child that is born into that relationship. A little child by the name of Obed. When that little child is born, guess what? All the women got to go see it. That's just the way women are, aren't they? They got to ooh and ah over that little thing. Ooh. And those women come and they begin to talk to Naomi, and listen to what they have to say to her. They say, "This child shall be the nourisher of thy life." The nourisher of thy life. Folks, what do they say? "This child will bring you comfort, Naomi, in your affliction." Ruth chapter 4, verse 15. God is the giver of comfort, is he not? Oh, we could keep going, couldn't we? We could talk about a woman by the name of Hannah who could not bear children, who was tortured and tormented constantly by Peninnah, a second wife in that house who had children. And she goes before God and she cries out unto God, and God blesses her with a little baby as well, a child by the name of Samuel, prophet, priest, and judge in Israel. We can turn into the New Testament, Luke the 7th chapter, beginning at verse 12. And Jesus just happens to enter into a little town by the name of Nain. And as he enters, there is a processional leaving that town. A woman is burying her only begotten son. Can you imagine? A widow. Her husband's already passed away. Now her son is lying there in that casket, having passed away. Can you imagine the grief that that woman must have felt? There was a group of individuals who were assembled around her to comfort her. And when Jesus sees the affliction of that woman, he has compassion on her. He stops that processional. He touches the bier. And he tells that young man to arise. And that day that young man sits up in that casket, and the Bible says that Jesus delivered him unto her, the mother. Jesus comforted a widow in her affliction. Folks, you can just keep on with story after story after story, showing where God desires to comfort. He is a God of all comfort. The question that we want to ask in point number 3 is this: where do we find God's comfort? That's what we need at times, is it not? Where do we find that? Folks, one of the places where you and I can find comfort is in the forgiveness of our transgressions. On one occasion, the psalmist cried out, "My sins are gone over my head. As a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me." Psalm 38, verse 4. If mankind really understood sin, every sin that's placed upon his back would be a burden unto him, folks. And the one thing that he would desire is relief. And folks, the only way to get relief from a burden upon your back is to take it off, is it not? We used to take those kids out in the woods sometime, have those 40-pound backpacks on. They've hiked about 2 or 3 miles in one day. We're almost out of the woods. We're standing there right by the van. And guess what? The one thing they want to do is they want to drop the backpack. Ain't happening yet. Everybody huddle up. And he got 20 kids huddled up, 40-pound backpacks, had them on for 2 hours. They're ready to drop those things, folks. We got to talk about the day for a little while, guys. And finally, guess what? Okay, drop your packs. How many of those guys do you think, nah, I just keep mine on? Not one, folks. Not one. Bam, those things hit the ground. Relief from their burdens. That is exactly the way that sinful man ought to desire to relieve himself of his transgressions. And how does that happen? Through the precious blood and grace of our Lord and our God, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1 verse 7. Folks, it's in Jesus that we have that forgiveness. It's in Jesus that we get our comfort from our transgressions. Jesus shed His blood in His death, and at the action of baptism, you and I come in contact with this death, do we not? Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? Romans 6 verse 3. He shed His blood in His death. In the action of baptism, we touch His death, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. That's why we're told, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Number two, where can you and I find God's comfort, folks? You can find comfort through the avenue of prayer. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. James 5 verse 13. The Apostle Paul writes, "Be careful for nothing." That's found in Philippians 4 verse 6. And don't we oftentimes wonder, how do you do that? Don't worry about anything. Don't let anything get under your skin. Don't let anything trouble you. Don't be afflicted in your minds, Paul says. Paul, how do you do that? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Folks, where can we find comfort? At the throne of the Almighty God. Go to God with your troubles. Go to God with your afflictions. And leave them there at His feet. Leave them at His throne. Leave them in His power. And let Him take care of those things. That's where comfort is found. Isn't that exactly what Hannah did that we talked about not long ago? And she was in bitterness of soul. And cried unto the Lord. And wept sore. 1 Samuel 1 verse 10. She laid her burden down at the feet of God. Number three. Where do you and I find comfort? Folks, you and I can find comfort in the pages of God's holy and divine word. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, 150. "This is my comfort in my affliction. For thy word quickeneth me." Paul said in Romans 15 verse 3, "Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, says, "Wherefore comfort ye one another with these words." You know, we talk about this little book a lot, don't we? And we talk about how powerful it is and how wonderful it is. And right now I'm telling you that you can find comfort in this book, in these words. And so many individuals say, "Yeah, right, preacher. I've tried that. And I haven't found that comfort." There's two big points that you need to consider. Number one, in order to find comfort in God's word, you've got to know where to go to make application of it, folks. Did you know that? You're struggling over death. You don't turn to Genesis 1 and read about the creation. I want to know about death. I want to have comfort in that area of my life. You're struggling with a relationship. I don't go read about the birth of Jesus. You've got to know where to go in the book. But folks, every area of our lives have been addressed in the pages of God's Word if we know where to go. That's why study is so essential for the Christian. When I am in affliction, I need to know exactly where to turn. But secondly, I've got to trust the book, don't I? What God said is true. What God said is real. What God said is valuable to my life. Trust what God says. And if we can do those two things, we'll find that there is comfort in the Word of God. Point number four, where can I find comfort? I can find comfort in my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, wherefore comfort ye yourselves together, Paul says. Folks, the reason God has given us the body of Christ is so that each one of us can care one for another in our struggles and in our difficulties. And I find that it's interesting how difficult that is still to do, isn't it? And how many times individuals still slip through the cracks. And maybe it's been you from time to time who's been one of those who's fallen through the cracks. And folks, when that happens, we as the body of Christ ought to beg your forgiveness. Did you know that? Because one of the purposes of this wonderful body is to make dead certain that we are there to comfort one another in our afflictions. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 11, for ye yourselves know how that we exhorted and comforted and admonished you even as a father doth his children. Paul says there were times when we comforted you just like a dad. You say, dads don't do much comforting. I don't know. I guess it depends on the situation, doesn't it? Child have a car wreck, guess who they call? My kids always call dad in that situation. Dad had a car wreck. Dad asked two questions. Is the car all right? No, that's not the first question. Dad asks this question, are you all right? Doesn't he? And then there's those words of comfort. Son, daughter, as long as you're all right, everything will be okay. Isn't that what we tell them? You see, dads comfort their children. And Paul says that's what we do. And folks, all of us have experienced that comfort from our brethren from time to time, haven't we? Phone calls. Cards, emails, texts, Facebook, tweets. Never thought I'd say those things in a sermon. Not when I started. But folks, we've all gotten those kind of things, haven't we? Where our brothers and sisters tell us, we're thinking about you, we love you, we're praying for you. That's exactly what's involved in this comfort one of another. And guess who has given us this wonderful family? It is God Almighty who has given it to us. Folks, there's a whole other lesson that I could talk about and spend a lot of time on. Did you know that you and I also play a part in our comfort? That's part number four. I'm just going to run through the list real quickly. What are some of the things that you and I must do in order to be comforted? Number one, folks, you've got to mourn when you're in sin. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Matthew 5, verse 4. There's a lot of times we're in our sin and we're in our iniquity and we could care less, but we expect God to comfort us. No. When I'm in my sin, I've got to be afflicted. And I've got to mourn for my transgression. And when I do, then God says, there is comfort. Number two, If I truly want rest, guess what I have to do? I have to pick up the yoke of Jesus Christ. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Folks, it's a double yoke. It's a yoke that's shared with Jesus Christ, but guess what? I've got to bear my part of the yoke to find that rest. It's much easier than bearing life's burdens all alone, isn't it? The Bible says that if I desire that rest to come, I've got to fear God, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. And if I desire that comfort in the hereafter, then I've got to labor to enter into that rest, Hebrews 4, verse 11. In order for me to have God's comfort, there are things that I have to do as well. We come to the close, and I've got 3 points that I need to make. Whole nother sermon. But we'll talk about them quickly. Number one, when you look up the word comfort, I gave you the definition a while ago, didn't I? Relief from affliction. That's the dictionary definition. The Greek word means this: to call near. I'm struggling, I'm hurting, I'm in a state of pain and anguish, and guess what? I need to call somebody near unto myself. And I call God to my aid, or I call my brothers and sisters to my aid, and guess what they do, folks? They strengthen me. They support me. His hands of power and strength, they undergird me so I can go through whatever the affliction and trial that I'm facing. That is God comforting us. One day, you and I can rest assured that if we stay faithful, we'll die and enter into a place of comfort. Isn't that what happened to Lazarus? In Luke, the 16th chapter, "Son, rememberest," talking to the rich man, "that thou in thy lifetime receivest thou thy good things and Lazarus evil things, but now," that's in the hereafter, "but now he is comforted," the Bible says. Folks, there's coming a day when all of us will experience the comfort of the hereafter. But you say something like this: "Well, Vic, that's not much help now." Oh, yes it is. Yes it is. Do you desire that? Absolutely. Do you want that? You bet I do. Do you long for that? Yes. Is it eventually going to be yours? Do you trust that? Oh yes, I trust that because God has said it. Well, folks, if you long for it and you trust in it, guess what? You can expect that it's going to come. Desire plus expectation equals what? Hope. And that's what we have now. The psalmist said in Psalm 16, verse 9, "My flesh resteth in hope." I don't have it right now. It's not my actual possession. But it is so dead certain that it's going to happen that guess what? Even right now, at this present hour, I have rest and comfort. What do you do until that time? You do what the prophet instructed Israel to do in those days gone by. "Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the good way, that ye may find rest unto your souls." Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Folks, God, through His Word, has provided the good way, the right way, the way of righteousness. He says, "You walk in this way, and you'll find rest unto your souls." That's what we do now. So the question is this: Have you found rest from your sins in Christ Jesus our Lord? My friends, if not, we beg you to put Christ on in baptism today, for it's there that forgiveness is found. Dear Christian, can you honestly say that my life right now is a life of comfort and rest because I hope in God and because I walk in the old paths? If not, maybe you need to repent and ask God to forgive you. If you need to respond to this invitation, won't you do so as we stand and sing?